The following program will make you want to grow things and experience new and wonderful dreams about your plants, garden, and garden design. Listener participation is strongly advised. Good evening and welcome to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. To contact Joanne live in the Toronto GTA area, dial 905-725-1907. Toll free in North America, 1-866-905-7325. Worldwide, 1-866-656-1907. 5477. Email Joanne right now, realityradio101@yahoo.com. And now, your host of Down the Garden Path, Joanne Shaw.
And welcome to the show. Welcome to Down the Garden Path. Thank you for joining us this evening. I know everybody's taken time out of their gardens to be here in June. So I'm really looking forward to chatting with you today about a variety of topics. As you know, every week my goal is to provide down-to-earth practical advice for garden, plants, and all things landscaping. And of course, my favorite topic of landscape design. And I've got some really exciting things to share with you today about that. I was able to participate since Thursday evening. So it's now Monday. It's been a bit of a whirlwind for me. But I was able to participate in what's called the Garden Bloggers Fling. How'd you like that word?
Wow.
That's a mouthful.
Sounds
isn't it,
dirty.
So garden blogging, combination of a trip in a major city, and historically they've taken place in majority of U.S. cities. This was the first one in Canada. And we had about 90 people there, and people from all over the world, including England and all over the U.S. I believe 29 states were represented, if I got the final total correct. And it was great. It was just that. It was a fling because, boy, we went nonstop from garden to garden to garden, from one end of the city to the other. And we did see a lot of private gardens, which you, as my listeners, wouldn't have an opportunity to see. So I feel very privileged to have seen those. But we saw a lot, and I felt, bad in a way. There were a lot of other Americans that kept saying to me, or other visitors from other places, you're from around here. Haven't you been here before? And I had to keep saying, nope, I'm...
That doesn't look good.
No, it didn't. But giving what I do for a living, this is kind of my season.
Yeah.
And some of the places are not open, outside of, for instance, we'll talk more about it, but Parkwood Estates. It's definitely been on my list. In Oshawa, mm-hmm. Have you ever been there?
Oh, many times.
Have
gorgeous.
You really?
Oh yeah. We've eaten lunch there in a little cafe thing they got in the back there near the reflection pool.
Yes,
nice.
That's where they served us lunch on Saturday.
That's where
we were. So a lot of weddings. Definitely a very historical site. Sam McLaughlin, right?
That's correct.
Founder of General Motors. It was his home. And it's now run by the city of Oshawa. And they're only open in May to September. And I've never been able to make it there. So that was one of our stops on Saturday.
Really?
Yeah. So I know our listeners are from all over. And the everyone who's local, I just wanted to highlight some of the places I've been, again, in a whirlwind trip in the last 3 days. And for those who are listening that are not from around here, I figure one of these days you might need a reason to come to visit Toronto or the GTA. And these would definitely be worthwhile places to visit. I really think you would enjoy them. So, and if you want to look up more about them, then they all, of course, have websites. So, so I thought I'd just share with you a little bit more about my trip. And later in the show, I want to answer some gardening questions. I've been getting texts and Facebook messages and emails all day with some questions. I kind of put it out there on social media for people to ask me their gardening questions. So, if you have them, please continue to email them. And realityradio101@yahoo.com. They'll come right to Gary, and he'll read those to me on the air. And but I know this is the time of year, you know, some things are done blooming, some things haven't started. Our season's a little behind. But
you know, it's kind of sad when you say, you know, things have stopped blooming.
Yes.
Because you do have these tulips, right?
Yes.
And they bloom pretty early in the season.
Yep.
And they're some of the most beautiful flowers, the colors, the texture, and then all of a sudden they're gone.
They're gone.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And we were able to see some gardens even where they still had tulips blooming.
Really?
So it was, rhodos blooming. So we definitely, depending on what pocket of the city you are in, different things were blooming. And I'm sure that's the same with for all our listeners as well.
Absolutely.
So the first place we visited on Friday was High Park. Now, have you been there, Gary?
Actually, my brother in Toronto, you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay, my brother-in-law's dad, who just passed away last week,
yes.
If you're okay?
Yeah.
He was one of the founders of High Park, has been around since the 1800s.
Yes.
But he was one of the caretakers from 1940-something on.
Really?
To put in all the gardens and the zoo and all this, whatever they have there.
Wow, fascinating.
He was the guy behind it all.
Yeah, and they're really trying to restore it and bring
That's
it.
That's right.
Because it went from that era where they were really establishing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And moved away and started, they kind of overplanted and planted the wrong things,
yep.
Norway maples. And they planted a lot of quick-growing things. And unfortunately, invasives as well. So there's this whole restoration going on, and it's such a big space that they kind of only can handle one area at a time.
Right.
So we were able to get a guided tour and kind of look at the different practices they were doing in the different areas to really restore the land and make it what it really set out to be back then. So
yeah, and he's been retired for many years, but in the day. You know, he was responsible for putting in some of the gardens and coming up with the ideas of petting zoo and this and that and everything else. And
mm-hmm.
so they played, Toronto played quite a big host to him on the radio and things when he passed, to say that he was behind High Park.
Oh, that is wonderful. Yeah. I've driven through it. I'm sure since I've been in Toronto a long time, but I've really never had the opportunity. And we really only saw a corner of it.
Oh, yeah, it's humongous.
You know, it really is. But wherever you are in the city or in the greater Toronto area or in the GTA or in the Durham region, it's definitely worth a visit to check that out and see how they're working at, restoring.
Mm-hmm.
They're always looking for volunteers, of course, if there's
of
keen
course.
Gardeners are out there. But Durham region's looking for plenty of volunteers, too. So I'm sure there's some gardening you could do closer to home. The next fabulous place, if you can believe it, after High Park was we caught a ferry to the island, the Toronto Island.
Yes.
Yes. And so if you go to my Facebook page, you'll see a picture we were able to take. Every fling has a group picture. So from the island's point of view, looking at the skyline of Toronto behind us, they're all 90 of us kind of huddled together while the photographer climbed a ladder and took a photo of us, all the bloggers and garden writers. And we had the beautiful Toronto skyline behind us. So that was really something. And this past Saturday and Sunday was the garden tour. It's actually Ward's Island. That's where we were. And that's where people live year round on the island and have for over 40 years. So some of these ladies and gentlemen have been gardening there for 40 years. So we got to see some wonderful, very eclectic, very unique. Each one was different. None of them huge. They were all fairly small size, but very, very beautiful gardens.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the islands are beautiful.
They really were.
For folks listening around the world, it's a treasure of Toronto. It's beautiful. And if you ever get to Toronto, the city, you have to take a ferry out and check out those islands.
Yes, it's only accessible by ferry.
Correct.
And but you can get there year-round, but I think you don't want to go there in the winter.
Yeah, a little cold and windy.
Yes, yes. But some beautiful views and just a beautiful little cottages that people live in, and some construction going on there. Some of the people were kind of refurbishing their homes. That's always a huge question everybody was asking, is like, how do they get the materials here and how do they take materials away? So that's one of the challenges when you have to do everything by water taxi, or by ferry. But it certainly was, and bike riding, it was just nice. You could rent a bike and just ride your bike around the neighborhood. So it was lovely, and we were lucky enough. So they did have they were opening their gardens to the city this past Saturday and Sunday, and we were able to see them on Friday. So we were able to get a sneak peek. And you've obviously missed it for this year, but if that's something, if you're thinking about coming to Toronto in the future and or next year especially, that's something to look into as to when they were having their garden tour. And it's definitely worth seeing. So, yeah. So that sounds like a lot, and that wasn't even everything we did on Friday, because we did.
Was there a cost to that?
There was.
What was the cost?
Oh, sorry, to the garden tour.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't know.
Okay.
Ours was kind of covered with our whole registration for the whole thing. But it's definitely a fundraiser for them. So
now there's something coming up in Oshawa. Are you familiar with it?
Yeah, I'm about
okay,
to talk
beautiful,
about that. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yep. So that was our Saturday. So I'll just wrap up our Friday. We the kind of center point for the meeting and most of the visitors that were staying overnight and coming from all around the world were staying at the Royal York downtown, which is a lovely, as you know,
Have money.
Well, we had a special rate, which was nice, but certainly centrally located. It was close to the waterfront, close to a lot of other amenities. And one of our evenings there, which was Friday night, we were able to go to the roof. And did you know that what's on the roof of the Royal York?
A beautiful garden.
No, even better. That's something we've talked about a lot on the show. Bees.
Oh, you mean that they're growing
Their beehives,
or they got
yeah.
a problem?
Yeah.
Okay.
They don't have a problem.
Beehive, okay.
Yeah. No, they put them there on purpose. So actually, I shouldn't say no to the garden part either, because there is a kitchen garden. So that's where all the food, the herbs that are, and some of the vegetables that are grown right there for the restaurant.
Wow, that's amazing. I didn't know that.
Yeah. But they also have hives there and beekeepers, and they collect the honey. And actually, it's the Royal York is owned now by the Fairmont chain.
Yeah, okay.
And their goal, I was reading today, their goal is to have hives on the roofs of all of their hotels.
Just for honey production.
Yeah, for honey, for the environment, because those bees, we've talked about on the show how important they are. And that way they can pollinate their own gardens as well. So yeah, so that was really neat to see. That they had that, and that they're moving forward with something like that. So yeah, that was our Friday, ladies and gentlemen. That was quite an action-packed day, I have to say. I didn't stay downtown at the Royal York. I feel like I should have, but I did commute back and forth on the
Go Train. Well, you live pretty close.
Train. I do, but commuting on the Go Train was got a little tiring. So, but it still efficient and worked, and shout out to the Go Train. So, and that was the other reason... that location was really good, so the other people from Ontario or from Toronto could commute in.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And on Saturday, in addition to seeing some private gardens in Forest Hill, we were able to go from there right to Parkwood Estates. And like I mentioned earlier, that was the home of Sam McLaughlin. And we got a quick little tour of the museum inside, which they've done a wonderful job of preserving his home. He lived there till he passed away at 100. So, it's
very beautiful.
Have you toured? Now, you said you've been to the grounds. Toured the museum?
Yes, I've been through the home a couple of three times. Actually, a lot of people don't realize it, but a lot of movies are filmed there.
Yes.
Segments of it.
Yes.
And you know, Murdoch Mysteries, which is a major show here in Canada, is filmed there a lot of times.
Okay.
On location there, I've been around when they're doing post and pre-production for movies.
Oh, great.
Because I'm part of that business,
yes,
right?
Yes, yeah.
So, yeah,
sure.
I've been there several times. It's, I've been there with my family to take the tour and everything. It's really nice.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, no, we had a really quick tour, but it was very informative, and I definitely would love to go back and see the whole thing.
Yeah.
For
absolutely.
Sure.
It's
and to
really
explore
cool.
the gardens more. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a real jewel in Oshawa, and I really hope we keep going with that and really continue to preserve it. And I think they need some restoration in certain areas.
Yeah, it's
and,
continuous. It's
yeah,
continuous.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But there were several weddings going on, so they kind of were really, it was a busy day for them because I think they had three weddings going on, and then they had our large group. And like I said, we had lunch there. So it was a really, really good day. And we couldn't have asked for more beautiful weather. So that was also wonderful. So on from there, we went to, which was close by, we went to the Oshawa Peony Garden. And I think that's what you were alluding to, what was happening in Oshawa.
Yeah, but there's something else I heard on the radio today. Not my station. But it's something about artists and gardens in Oshawa, and it's coming up in a week or 2 weeks.
Okay.
And what it is there's tours, and you're going to visit all kinds of gardens all over Oshawa, personal homes and this
really?
And that,
okay.
that have gotten accredited. Plus, on some of these homes that you're also looking at the gardens and stuff, they also have entertainment, singers and this and that and everything else. So I'll try to get more information to forward it to you so you can put that on all your social media.
For sure. I can even Google that during commercial break.
Yeah. I forgot what it's called.
Yeah.
But it's something to do with gardening, artists, and gardens.
Yeah, that is a popular thing for gardeners, the gardening industry this time of year, are different garden tours. I know the Toronto Botanical Garden Tour is coming up next weekend as well. But Oshawa has a peony garden, and it's quite a large, extensive garden, and the varieties of peony seem endless, absolutely endless. They also had, we also have a lot of wedding photography or weddings taking place there. So the actual festival is happening this weekend, June 13th and 14th. But obviously, you know, you can't just, the peonies aren't going to just bloom for that day, that weekend. They had already started blooming. So if you are in the area and want to I think apparently it's quite a busy day to go next weekend, but it is a good cause. And it is worth seeing these varieties. And they are all labeled. And there is also a map available. So if you see a variety that you've never heard of or that you really like, I know I posted a great picture of a coral one, kind of an orangey peony, which was just breathtaking. I don't even think the picture did it justice. And I posted that on my Facebook page as well. So please continue. I'm still absorbing this trip, and it's still kind of racing through my mind. But I wanted to share some more about it. I think it's probably a good time for a commercial break. I can take a sip of water off us chatting, but thank you for listening. We are listening to Down the Garden Path. I am Joanne Shaw, and we will be right back on Reality Radio 101.
Are you looking for that very unique and personal gift? Then look no further. At Pamper Me Organically, we have that very special gift for that very special person in your life. Pamper Me Organically is a Canadian-owned and operated company that specializes and sells organic bath and beauty products. Come in and visit us locally in the Pickering Village Courtyard in Pickering, Ontario. Or visit our website at www.pampermeorganically.com. We ship worldwide for all of your online purchases. Call us at 416-629-1952. That's 416-629-1952. Remember, at Pamper Me Organically, we never sell any product that contains harmful chemicals, fragrances, colorants, or animal ingredients. We are Pamper Me Organically, where you always get great products at a great price.
Welcome to One Love Caribbean Groceries and African Foods, located at 595 King Street East, Wilson and King Street in Oshawa. They carry a wide variety of delicious tropical fruits, vegetables, spices, halal meats, fresh fish, fresh roti, patties, cosmetics, and much, much more. Their friendly staff will be happy to serve you with all your West Indian grocery needs. One Love Caribbean Groceries, located at 595 King Street East, just a few steps east of Wilson on King Street in Oshawa. Their telephone number is 905-440-4632. That's 905-440-4632.
The following program will make you want to grow things and experience new and wonderful dreams about your plants, garden, and garden design. Listener participation is always recommended. Welcome back to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. To contact Joanne live by telephone, dial 905-725-1907. Toll free in North America, 1-866-905-7325. Send Joanne an email right now, realityradio101@yahoo.com. And now, back to your host of Down the Garden Path, Joanne Shaw.
Thank you, and welcome back to Down the Garden Path here on Reality Radio 101. Thank you for listening, and I hope I've inspired you for a few places in the area. I just wanted to recap the Oshawa Peony Festival and confirm that it is this Saturday and Sunday. It looks like the hours are 10 till 4. And it is located at the Oshawa Valley Botanical Gardens at 155 Arena Street in Oshawa, near the Children's Museum. So, Children's Arena. So, I think it's definitely worth checking out.
Sounds like a plan.
I think it's really important to support as much of the horticultural events that happen in your area.
Yeah.
So, regardless of where you are, look. There's going to be something happening, especially this time of year.
Yeah.
So even if you're not near us, and I know we have a lot of U.S. listeners and other listeners around the world, it's a great thing to do for the weekend is to look at, see if there's a garden tour or a garden festival in your area. And it can be really inspiring.
There's always a garden festival at your home.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not really, but yeah.
Yes, of course. And she gives free refreshment. No, I'm only kidding. I just made that up.
Yeah. So I'm interested to see. And I was just telling Elaine about the Oshawa Peony Festival as well, because I know she's a big fan of peonies.
Oh, yeah. She'll
You've
be there.
You've got those. Several of Gary's wives are about to bloom, and I'm hoping the rain that we're getting in the next few days is not going to ruin that. So
that would affect it. So a lot of rainfall.
Yeah, they just unfortunately knock the blooms, off. Unfortunately, yeah, that is the one thing that people wish that peonies last. Everybody loves them so much, but they wish that they lasted longer.
Yeah.
So that's the one challenge. So I've covered Friday and Saturday of our trip, and I thought I'll just recap our Sunday. We, again, in addition to seeing some gardens, private gardens, we managed to see the Cabbage Town Garden Tour on Sunday. So that's a lovely area in Toronto, so we were able to see private gardens that Sunday morning. And then we went off to the Evergreen Brickworks. How have you been there, Gary?
Yes.
Yes.
Is that the one on Lakeshore? down
the DVP kind
I've been in there. It's a building, right?
It is a building, yes.
Because there's artisans and things in there. Yes, so I have been.
There have been. Yes. And then they hold a lot of events in there as well.
Yes, we've been in there, my whole family. Yes.
Yeah, so it was great. Again, it was on my to-do list. And they've done a great job of restoring the site. It was a brick manufacturing site for 100 years almost, I believe. And they've done a really good job. Maybe not that long. Maybe 70 years, I think. 70.
That's old.
Yeah, still. And so they've done a really good job of really restoring the habitat, back to the native habitat, really restoring the environment. So it's a lot of educational things there for children. And the park, the little park and playground they had for kids, it was really interesting. So, and really looked like a lot of fun if you were a kid. So it would be a great, again, you can rent bikes and you can ride the trails and wander around, sit by the ponds and the little areas. So there's a lot to do. So definitely worth seeing. The next thing, we went complete contrast, and we went to the brand newly opened gardens of the Aga Khan Museum in North Toronto.
Chukka Khan? Yeah. Or Aga Khan?
Aga Khan.
Okay.
Museum. And the gardens have just been opened a couple weeks ago, actually, the end of May. And so that was breathtaking and very, very different. Not a lot of flowers or anything like that, but definitely worth seeing. And it's some of the trees are still kind of getting established, but it was a very unique setting. And considering it's right beside the DVP and the old BATA facility, old BATA corporate headquarters. So that was really interesting. And we closed out our evening at, of course, the jewel of Toronto, I think, is the Toronto Botanical Gardens, which at Yonge and Lawrence.
World-renowned.
Yeah, Lawrence
world
and Leslie
renowned.
Area.
Yep.
Absolutely. And the world's smallest botanical garden, so I learned some facts. So they are only on 4 acres. So,
oh, wow. Yeah. I thought it was a lot more than that. Yeah.
So there's a real fine line between the botanical gardens and Edwards Gardens. Hmm. And so you think it's much bigger than it is, but really the Toronto Botanical Gardens is only 4 acres. And they've got some really exciting plans for expansion of the Toronto Botanical Gardens. We got to hear a little bit about that. And again, it makes it a really good destination. If there's any listeners out there who are considering a trip to Toronto, there are a lot of really public, beautiful public gardens to see, and the Toronto Botanical Gardens is especially one of them. And they offer tours, and they offer now a recorded self-guided tour. So you kind of listen to the recording, and you can wander around. Of course, they have a little cafe. They have a little gift shop, very quaint gift shop, and even a gardening library. Like, all the books are gardening books. So
definitely
worth seeing. So we were able to have dinner there and wander and meander around the gardens. We got to see a wonderful plant urn and container demonstration by Paul Zammit, the director of plants there. And it was wonderful. It was a great evening to kind of wrap up 3 crazy days and jam-packed days of the fling. So
and then
I
you went
really
home and soaked your feet.
Oh my goodness, I went straight home to bed. no even time to soak my feet. But it was a wonderful way for us to connect. Like I said, everyone was a blogger or a garden writer, but really came to gardening from a different perspective. There were some that were travel writers, magazine writers, some that took people on gardening tours. That was kind of how she earned her living, was researching gardens all over the world and taking people kind of destination tours. And some were just, blogging about their own personal garden. Mine's pretty eclectic in the sense that it's really like a continuation of this show where I try to help with down-to-earth practical advice on what to do in your garden. So it was very, very unique and very nice to meet everybody and get to know people from all over. So if you are, if you hadn't heard about it, Google it, Garden Blogger Fling. 2016 is going to be in Minneapolis. So we don't have a date.
Wow.
Yeah, there's no date or anything confirmed yet, but that is the plan. I'm looking forward to it. And I'm hoping it's a date where I can make it, because
that'd be nice.
This time of year would be challenging for me to travel.
And that's
far.
Probably when it's going to be, right?
Not necessarily. I think somebody had said they were thinking of a bit later in the season. So So yeah, I think I'm looking forward to knowing more about it. So yeah. So that kind of wraps up those ideas. So if you have any questions, please email me if you've got any questions about those items I talked about. Again, I've got so many pictures. I've posted a few pictures that I took with my phone, but I took hundreds more with my good camera, which I've yet to download. So as you know, as I mentioned before, my website is downtoearth.ca with the number 2. Please visit my website, and all my social media links are there. So you can check out my Facebook page and my Twitter feed. I'll post some pictures on Twitter, but probably Facebook and Instagram are probably the best places for some of the photos that I'm going to be sharing. And one of the things I really started to focus on as the few days evolved were container gardens. And I wrote about that in June's newsletter. You know, for us to really start thinking outside the box and outside the geranium when it came to our containers and to really treat them. That's one thing we talked about at the Botanical Gardens, was to really treat your container instead of just putting flowers in a container for the sake of that, really treating your container as a little garden on its own. And I think it'll be much more enjoyable and much more successful if you look at it that way.
Now, most people have a container garden. Is it because of space or not?
I think some people add them to exist. And well, a lot of the ones we saw, they were even, whether they were big gardens or little gardens,
yeah,
everybody had containers.
Yeah, I know we do.
Yeah, yes, you do. I do. But strategically placed under a tree. We had some lovely displays hung on walls, on fences. I really started to take some pictures of some really unique container arrangements and some containers and some different displays. And sometimes when we walked even from one garden to another on a tour, you know, you passed 3 or 4 other houses or more. And so we were snapping pictures of those things as well. So I think that's one of the common things that I really photographed.
Really
want to highlight on Facebook. So it may come out on Facebook. It may be a separate blog post. Who knows? But the only way you'll know is if you start following me. So please check it out.
And how do they follow you?
That's right. Like I mentioned, on my website, downtoearth.ca. You can email me at joanne@downtoearth.ca as well. And that's probably the easiest way to follow me on Pinterest and Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, of course.
Very nice, yep.
That's a good thing to do. Now, I did want to get to, we wanted to talk a little bit about the questions. So please, if you do have questions for me, now is a great time. You can email them to realityradio101@yahoo.com. And of course, Gary will read them to me. If you are local and you want to call, 905-725-1907.
Yeah, don't be shy, because
yes,
a lot
I
of
know.
People...
Gary said they're everybody's shy.
Well,
they're
it is.
Call
traditionally, the research shows that internet radio,
yes,
traditionally, all around the world, people are more shy to call these stations for whatever reason than they are, let's say, terrestrial conventional stations.
Really?
And we don't know why.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know why, they don't know why, but don't be shy. If you have a question, you have a comment, we're here for you. Joanne is here for you. She will give you expert advice. So give us an email or a call. And again, those numbers are locally here. If you're in Toronto, in the GTA, the Greater Toronto Area, that number is 905-725-1907. If you're outside of that area, hey, we're going to pay for the call. So you have nothing to be concerned about.
That's right.
That number is 1-866-905-7325. Or if you don't feel like calling, now you're probably listening at a computer anyways, or even you know, an iPhone, what have you, you can still send an email that way, of
mm-hmm.
course.
Yep.
So send us an email at realityradio101@yahoo.com, and we'll you can be anonymous if you want. We'll answer the question and get right back to you.
Exactly. And I do have my iPad here as well. So if you want to tweet me a question, then go ahead and tweet it as well. And I'm watching Facebook. But I have received some earlier today, and I wanted to. And one that I got this past week from a customer that I was visiting. So I was out doing some site visits. So it's kind of a duplicate question. The same question came up a few times. And you were talking about tulips, Gary. And bulb.
Yeah.
Now, that's one thing that not everybody knows is, you know, everybody loves planting tulips and daffodils and alliums, all the different bulbs that we plant in the fall that bloom in the spring. But one of the things... you find a lot of people say, oh, but every time I plant them, they don't come back. Well, one reason is squirrels could have dug it up and taken it because squirrels definitely love tulips.
Wow, really?
Yes, they don't like daffodils or allium, which are kind of flowering onions. But one of the things I'm discovering is that people didn't know you're not supposed to, when it's done flowering, you're not supposed to go and cut off the foliage, cut off the leaves.
Really?
Yes, you're supposed to let the leaf, unfortunately, dies slowly, and that as it kind of decomposes and dies, it feeds the bulb. So that way, that bulb is strong enough to make it through the season and the winter.
Mm-hmm.
So I had one customer go, oh, that's why the bulbs never last, because as soon as they're finished blooming, I snip off those ugly leaves and stems and kind of hide them. So that's something to remember. I know, and that's where planting with a plan, you know me, great landscapes start with a plan.
That's correct.
It's important to have other plants come up around those bulbs so that, you know, the foliage, that kind of yellowing foliage, isn't as noticeable. So that's really important, I think.
Good point.
To do that. And, so that's one of the questions I received today and last week as well. Now our season here in the GTA is still a little behind, which is good because we still have some rhodos and lilacs blooming. And so normally now would be starting the time to prune those spring bloomers. But
by the way, do you know what is the lilac capital of the world?
I do not.
Rochester, New York.
Really?
Where I'm from.
Really?
Yes, it's called the Flower City because of that.
Excellent.
They have hundreds and hundreds of species of lilac trees that are on 40 acres of land in Highland Park in Rochester, New York. And they get 1 million visitors a year at the beginning of the lilac season.
Really?
For people to come, and they give free lilac bushes to plant. And,
yeah.
And it's just amazing what they do there. And they have a lilac festival every year, three days a weekend. And, of course, not only do you tour the grounds, but, of course, there's entertainment and all that stuff. So it is the lilac capital of the world, apparently.
Wow.
All over the internet.
Yeah. Well, that's great. See, you learn something new all the time.
Yep.
There you go. Other early bloomers, you can go ahead and prune them. So if you have forsythia and it's finished blooming, of course, now is a good time to prune it, and definitely good time to thin it out. Lilacs, if your lilac is still blooming, then now is obviously not a good time to prune it, but it is really important that as soon as the lilac the best time to prune a lilac is right after it blooms. And you'll see next year's bud, if you look at the cluster of the flower head, right below that on the stem, you'll see the buds for next year's flower. So it's really important to not prune too far and to just trim off those buds just at that point. And lilacs, regardless of whether you have the dwarf varieties like Tinkerbell or Miss Kim lilac, it's important, even though they kind of have their own like oval and kind of rounded shape, it's still important to trim inside. So reach inside and trim out some of those branches, kind of, I would call it selective pruning. And that will encourage new growth on the inside and kind of contribute to the health of your lilacs. And so that when you move the leaves aside, you don't just see an empty bush inside. So it's really not necessarily to keep things kind of like a ball or like a globe shaped. You really want to have a natural look, and you want the blooms to be, at different heights and different lengths of your shrub. So that's something that's usually tricky for people. They often either don't prune it because they're afraid to prune it the wrong time, or they prune it, you know, midsummer when it's kind of looking ratty, and then it doesn't bloom the following year. So that's just one of the tricky things in the garden at this time of year. The next thing, since we're talking about not blooming, another question I received today is from someone who said their peonies and irises both should you know, have just bloomed or should still be blooming, did not bloom. They had recently, Cheryl said she had recently relocated her garden and kind of did some new planting in a new location last year. And so it divided her or moved her peonies and divided her irises into this new garden. And this year she was really disappointed that they were not blooming. So those are two tricky plants, and that they do not like to be planted too deep. So I'm betting that with her relocating them, she planted them too deep, and the root needs to be a little bit exposed on both of those plants. So so whether you know maybe you planted them and then heaped on some mulch, that could have been it. That's the kind of inhibiting it from blooming. So there's nothing you can probably do. There's nothing you can do for this year, but I would definitely look at somehow gently, you know, with a forklift or just gently digging around. Don't want to disturb the roots too much, but you want to really try to raise the peonies and the iris bulbs a little bit from the ground and make sure they're not planted too deep.
Very, very good advice.
Yeah, so I hope that helps someone out there. Another good question that I was able to get today in email was some other plants that were good for shade other than hostas. And that's a good question. And my mind was racing because I thought my last 4 days have been just nonstop gardens. And I kind of had to stop and think, okay, what was blooming in those shade gardens? And so there are several things, and I'm sure tonight I'll think about even more of them, but I did jot down some great varieties. And I also thought about all the native plants that we've discussed in past shows as well. So there definitely was a common theme when I was considering other shade plants. So certainly ferns, a wide variety of ferns, also the Japanese painted ferns, which I love because there's some purple and burgundy in them. So for me, shade gardens are more about the foliage and the leaf color than they are about flowers. So that's something to consider. And the texture. So the, you know, different ferns have such different textures. Some are tall, some are short, some are, you know, much finer leafed, and some are really thicker leafed, like in the sense of just the pattern of the leaf. So they can really add some really interesting textures, especially combined with hostas.
Very nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Solomon seal and coral bells. Solomon seal is a taller plant. It does flower, but it also has quite a unique flower. It kind of almost reminds you of a bleeding heart in the sense that it's like a little heart-shaped dangle. Bleeding heart, of course, is one that grows.
Is that like a liberal? No, I'm only kidding, folks. All right.
And a couple other. Trillium, of course, if you can get your hands on trilliums legally and buy them at a local nursery or native plant location. They're a wonderful addition to the shade garden, although they do flower very early. Foam flower or tiarella is a really good grower, especially in very dry shade. It's really tough. It's got a nice, interesting leaf. And it does, you know, I wouldn't say it's a showy flower. It does technically send up a flower, but it's not a super showy flower. So I've got a few more to tell you about, but I think I need to stop for a commercial break. Gary's nodding his head. So thank you. You are listening to Down the Garden Path, and we will be right back here on Reality Radio 101.
Looking for that very unique and personal gift? Then look no further. At Pamper Me Organically, we have that very special gift for that very special person in your life. Pamper Me Organically is a Canadian-owned and operated company that specializes and sells organic bath and beauty products. Come in and visit us locally in the Pickering Village Courtyard in Pickering, Ontario, or visit our website at www.pampermeorganically.com. We ship worldwide for all of your online purchases. Call us at 416-629-1952.
That's 416-629-1952. Remember, at Pamper Me Organically, we never sell any product that contains harmful chemicals, fragrances, colorants, or animal ingredients. We are Pamper Me Organically, where you always get great products at a great price.
Put the special into your special event. With our finger on the pulse of today's event scene, we provide for all your entertainment needs. Amuse and amaze with look-alike performers, illusionists, and interactive entertainment. Fill the air with jazz, dance music, classic rock, Latin, and disco. Thrill your guests with tarot and psychic readings. And treat the kids with children's entertainers, face painting, inflatables, and more. When your reputation is on the stage, let our reputation for excellence earn you a standing ovation. For more information, visit aratoevents.com.
Welcome back to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. Send Joanne an email right now, realityradio101@yahoo.com. And now, broadcasting live from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, Joanne Shaw.
Thank you, Gary, and welcome back to Down the Garden Path here on Reality Radio 101. Again, I thank you for listening, and I'm hoping that I'm answering your questions as well as the last hour that you've spent with me almost. Told you about some great, exciting places to visit this summer and fall, I guess, too. But to get back to what I was talking about with shade plants, as much as it is for me all about the foliage, there is some really nice plants that do flower. And columbines are another one where no two columbines are really alike. We saw so many this past the past few days, some with really big blooms, some with really double and triple blooms in different colors. And I wouldn't say they're invasive. They definitely are self-seeding in the garden, but they're just a wonderful pop of color in May and June for the garden. And for a shade plant, they actually get a bit of height to them too. So yeah, definitely look up columbine. And the last one I want to mention was a Canada anemone, which is a native plant. And it is blooming now in your garden as well. It's got a nice little white flower that almost reminds you of the flower on a potentilla, you know, like a real simple single white flower. But even when it's done flowering, it will cover and fill in a dry shaded area quite nicely. And the foliage is quite a nice foliage. So and it does stay green. I know a lot of spring bloomers, as the season goes on, the foliage kind of dies off and doesn't look that great. But Canada anemone is another great one. So I hope that gives you some options there. I believe that question came from email from Tammy. So Tammy, I hope that helps. And thank you for the question. So please, we're almost going to wrap up the show, but if there's anybody else who has any questions, please feel free to email them to realityradio101@yahoo.com. I did want to talk about the last couple of shows. We've had a guest on from, Bren was here from hashtag Garden Chat. So I'm really hoping to participate in the chat tonight. And it is about butterfly gardening and what plants that everybody puts in and have luck with and which type of butterflies they attract. So I'm really looking forward to learning more about that. in tonight's hashtag garden chat. So if you're familiar with Twitter, you just go on and search hashtag garden chat, and all that feed will come up. And even if you don't participate or don't ask a question, you can just see what everybody else is saying. It kind of takes a little while to figure out the format, but it's pretty basic, you know, Q1, question one. And then when you answer that question, you'll see people say A1, meaning that's the answer for question one or answer for question two, that type of thing. So it's kind of a new thing, but it can be very, very informative to have people, again, from all over Canada and the U.S. participating and telling everybody, sharing with everybody in the community about gardening. So it's a great thing to check out. And it is tonight from 9 until 10. So please check that out. And last week we had Natasha and Natalie from the Toronto Flower Market. Seems like it was more than a week ago that we were here, Gary. Oh my goodness.
I know. It seems well.
Yeah, a lot has happened in a week. And even my day today, after being away for 4 days, I was installing a garden today. And despite the muddy, wet weather,
wow.
I was there until about.
Did you wear the big boots?
I wore little boots, but okay. I did wear boots. Almost only fell once. Yeah.
Wow.
The guys, it was a new crew to me, and it was almost going to be one of those where they were going to have to pick me up out of the mud.
Geez.
It was close.
Yeah.
So it was kind of tricky, but a little challenge. We got a hard deadline to get this garden in, and I left it in good hands with the guys, but I didn't leave till about 5:30 today, so it's been kind of a whirlwind day, and we'll finish up tomorrow. So, I was talking about the Toronto Flower Market, and of course, that is happening in June. It happens the second Saturday of the month from May to October, and this Saturday is the second Saturday. So if you want more information, please check out torontoflowermarket.ca, and you can learn about, they have the exact address there, and their show is not up yet on my site, but it will be soon. I have my son working on it, and I'll use that opportunity to also to remind all our listeners, if you're new to Down the Garden Path, I have all my past shows available on my website, which is, once again, downtoearth.ca. And if you go to the blog section of my website, and all in chronological order are all the different shows and all the different guests we've had on. So, yeah, so I please go ahead and visit that site. And I wanted to thank everybody for listening today. So I know I covered a lot. I covered a lot of information. And
yeah, and we're going to find out more about what this thing is at Oshawa we were talking about.
Yeah, I did Google it during the commercial break, and I couldn't find anything about that. So,
but there is something coming up, and it's going to be some type of a tour in Oshawa, Ontario. And here's the unique part about it. It's not at any park or a specific garden. It's actually at residences, people's homes.
Correct.
And there's a tour with that, and I do believe, I'm not 100% sure, but I believe there's transportation. You can pay, and everyone gets on a bus, and they go to these certain homes. And then there's entertainment, of course, when you're at certain homes. When you're looking at the gardens, there's going to be some entertainment as well. So we'll try to figure that out, and of course...
Yeah, I'll send out something on Twitter or post something on Facebook about that. And that does remind me that there also is, if you do want to check out... now, I don't believe there are any of the gardens that I saw this weekend, but the Toronto Botanical Gardens is having their garden tour this Saturday and Sunday as well, and that is definitely the same format where you need to order tickets in advance, and they kind of do a neighborhood. And I believe the focus that very much this year is a garden homes and residences where they are the owner designed and owner maintained.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That'd be interesting.
You know, sometimes we visited lots of lovely ones of those in the past several years and even this past weekend. But sometimes they're, you know, professionally designed and professionally maintained. And, you know, that it's nice to shoot for, but it can be a little overwhelming and a little daunting for your average home gardener.
And, no offense to anybody listening, some of those gardens not only have to be beautiful, but they're going to be disasters. So let's be honest about it.
None of them are disasters. They've all been carefully chosen.
Oh, okay.
But if there's one thing I've learned in these last whirlwind few days is that everybody's garden is different and everybody's garden is personal and there's no right way or wrong way to do anything.
Mm-hmm. But you should have a plan.
Yes, you should have a plan. And it was definitely interesting to see how plans evolved over time, of course, and different areas being redesigned and different, some really mature gardens, but then they lost a tree last year. So then they had new plantings in that small area. So it's gardening is always about transition. And so I think I learned a lot. Some of the teeniest, tiniest gardens we saw to some of the largest gardens we saw. It definitely is a personal space and no two are alike and there's no one way to do it or no wrong way to do it. So I really learned a lot and I'm really looking forward to sharing as soon as I start to absorb all those pictures and ideas and concepts more with my listeners and with my customers, moving forward. I really love doing this type of thing because I think it inspires me to think of new plant material and new ways of using it.
You're always learning too,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, when I'm in people's homes, you know, you can kind of get a little stale. Your palate can be a little, same old. So that's why I thought it was a really important thing to do to take time out of my busy work month and go ahead and do that. So
beautiful.
Yes. So I'm hoping that you'll follow me on my journey as I continue to do that. And
beautiful.
Thank you for listening Down the Garden Path and joining me down this garden path every week. And I look forward to seeing you next week.
Thank you, Joanne.
You're welcome.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You have been listening to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101.